kick off live. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Joined by Paul Dottino, I am John Schmelk. 201-939-4513. That's your way to talk to us about Giants football, or go to Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. All right, everybody, the playoffs are finally here. First time since 2011, the Giants will be playing in a playoff game, and they're not messing around. In Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers, who are red hot. We'll get to that in a moment, but first, Paul, let's talk about the game against the Redskins. A good win, and to me, other than the Dallas Cowboys win from a few weeks ago, best defensive performance of the season for the Giants.
Certainly one of them, when you consider that the passing attack of the Redskins, very high-powered, and in fact, just their overall offensive production coming into this game, one of the tops in the NFL.
Wonderful.
Especially with the deep ball. So the Giants, outside of that 175-yard drive, honestly, really handcuffed Cousins and company all day long.
284 yards of total offense for the Redskins, just 38 rushing yards. Kirk Cousins, you know, you look at the stat line, it's actually not that bad. 22 for 35, one touchdown, but it's the two picks that really killed him, including one interception at the end. And what a
DRC,
great play,
baby,
by Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. I looked at it a few times. I'm not sure I'm confident enough to say that he baited him into the throw, but he certainly made it appear that Garcon was open. And he closed quickly once the ball was in the air. A good job by the Giants' pass rush, forcing Cousins to drift a little bit to his left while throwing the ball to his right, so he couldn't get enough juice on the ball to whip it in there before DRC got in front of Garcon on the deep in route. Mm-hmm. And overall, just another great play by Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie.
The only reason I'm going to say he probably did, John, is because that's his MO.
It is.
He does that.
Which is why I was looking for it.
Yeah.
And I think he did.
I do, too.
Either way, it was a heck of a play by him.
I do, too, because he loves to be that center field ball hawk, and he just, like you say, he loves to play coy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm inclined to think that he did. I will tell you this.
See, and this is why I'm worried that he might. And if he did, I think it's dangerous, because if Cousins can step into that throw and zing it in there in rhythm and lead him across the field, it's probably a catch. Is he did throw it slightly behind, and
yeah,
he threw it slightly high,
yeah,
and slightly low. I mean, slightly light, without the velocity on it. So if Cousins can step up into the top pop, step into the pocket, step into the throw and zing it, that could have been a catch that put the Redskins in field goal range.
This is why, though, that the pass rush and the secondary goes hand in hand, because
correct,
DRC maybe plays things that way because he has confidence that they're going to be able to affect him.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this is much like Janoris Jenkins has been telling us all season long, that this is how I play, but maybe the reason that people didn't notice in St. Louis was A, because it's not New York, and B, because I had to gamble all the time. Remember, the word on him was he's a big high-risk taker.
Correct.
And he's going to make a bunch of big plays, but he's going to give up a bunch of big plays. And he's telling us now that maybe the reason that happened is because I had a gamble. Because maybe St. Louis wasn't very good, and he felt like he had to take chances.
Well, not good offensively. Their pass
rush
is obviously fantastic.
Yeah.
Right.
But he was of the mindset that he had to overtake big plays or overreact to big plays because they were so bad offensively. So I think what we're learning now is that these guys are tailoring their game, if you will, to the rest of the team. And they're kind of playing the percentages based on how the team is playing. And I think that's important. And that's why veterans like Jenkins and DRC can do this kind of thing, because they're using their heads. They're not just playing talented football. They're using their heads. And I've been saying for the last month, John, this has been the best DRC has played since he's been a Giant. This is not a secret to me. And he's had picks now in each of the last three games. And as I said to him on the field yesterday, big players make big plays in big spots. That's what DRC's been doing all year.
Also give credit to the Giants' run defense. Robert Kelly, who's been pretty decent the last second mm-hmm. half of the year. Snacks Harrison and company doing a great job shutting him down. And I thought about him more and more, Paul. This year, if I had to give the Giants MVP to somebody, and look, there's no doubt Odell Beckham Jr. is the team's best player. I'm not going to debate that for a second. And if you want to give him the MVP, I get it. No argument. That's fine. But for a team that's been carried by the defense, I try to find the defensive player that's had the biggest impact. it's hard for me to argue somebody besides Snacks Harrison with the way he's played this year.
I still got to go Collins.
He has single-handedly, and look, I'm not saying the other guys don't do a good job too, but he has turned what was an okay run defense last year into the best run defense in football.
Mm-hmm.
And he has – did he end up breaking the record for most stops by a defensive tackle in that game yesterday? I'm not sure if he broke the record.
I have not seen everybody else's totals, nor have I seen the NFL come out. Well, remember now, tackle numbers
right.
for years have been unofficial.
Bottom line is
that – so I don't know.
He has been the best run stuffer in the NFL this year, and has it been close?
That's true.
And to me, he has – allowed Steve Spagnuolo to put Landon Collins in the position to make all those plays because the defensive line is able to handle the running game so much.
It's a logical argument, and that's why I think we can agree to disagree
that's
on
fine.
This. I don't think there's a right answer. I would come back and counter that Vernon has been a beast against the run off the edge.
I agree with that.
That JPP, when he was there for most of the season, was also outstanding against the run. And I think Jonathan Hankins has also had a really good year. So, excuse me, for me, I'm going to say that the whole defensive line has been a collective effort led by Snacks. And I guess you could say the same thing about Collins, though. Collins has been awesome, and he's led the secondary, but all those guys have been good.
And it allows Landon Collins to maybe do his thing because all the corners can cover. He's not helping anybody. He doesn't have to double-team anyone. So that you're right. And that's why, though, the defense is so effective. They're so well-rounded. They have players at every level that know what they're doing and know how
wow.
to play.
You know, I'm going to say, and this is not something that's coming out of left field because we all know what the stats are and we can all see it with our eyes. I have never seen such a defensive turnaround from one year
nope.
to the next as I have seen
neither
this
have
year.
And look, both of us thought they were going to be a lot better this year, but we figured 12th in the league, something like that. I don't think anybody thought it was going to turn into a top three, top five defense.
I think all of us said, hey, if they can be 15-16, they could be a playoff team. If they can get top 10, top 12, wow, maybe they could be a little better than that. Top five, top three, maybe top number one.
And I'll tell you what, a good
wow.
thing they did, too, given the fact the offense has tailed off, which we
absolutely.
Didn't expect. And once again, I mean, I know Odell Beckham didn't play in the second half, Paul, but even in the first half, the Giants scored just 10 points when he's on the field.
Yeah.
They struggle in the red zone yet again, which is a continuing problem. So I think we're to the point now, and I've said this a couple weeks ago, I just want to reiterate it now. This offense is what it is.
Yeah.
It's not going to explode and have that 35-point game. It's not going to put you on its back and have all these monster big plays and score a bunch of points. It has to be efficient, not turn the ball over, which it did a good job of yesterday, put the defense
zero.
In good spots to get stops. And if it does that, the Giants are good enough defensively to win some football games 21-17, 24-20, 17-10, 13-7, whatever. You can win a lot of games that way. And I think that's the way right now this team is structured, and that's how they need to go about winning football games.
And, oh, by the way, a power running game has surfaced. Been asking for that for how many years? And, oh, yeah, Eli Manning, 44 yards down the left sideline to Tavares King. That's a big play for you, and one hell of a throw.
It was a great throw, and the Giants ran it 40 times in that game compared to 27 throws. I believe that's three out of the last four games now, Paul, where they have ran the ball more than they've thrown it.
Indeed.
Which is an excellent, excellent number, and the defense allows you to do that because you're not behind and you don't have to throw the ball
mm-hmm.
like they did against the Eagles last week. All right, now let's look ahead a little bit to the Green Bay Packers, Paul, before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513. If you are watching on Twitter, go to Giants.com or the Giants mobile app. You can check out the remainder of the show there as we preview the Giants playoff game against the Green Bay Packers. All right, Paul. The Packers. I know we mentioned this last week, but let's reiterate it at least. I think both of us are of the opinion that the first matchup between those two teams doesn't mean a whole lot because both teams are a lot better, specifically the Packers on offense and the Giants on defense. So I'm not sure how much you could take from that first matchup.
I'm going to give you a little asterisk on the Packers' offense.
Have you changed your mind? Because we had this conversation yesterday.
We did. And I watched the entire Lions-Packers game on the phone last night on the train.
So did
home.
I.
The Packers are more explosive offensively than they were then, and Rodgers, particularly in the passing game, yes. Absolutely. You
well,
can't
last,
argue.
Last seven games, Aaron Rodgers completing 70% of his passes,
zero
15
picks.
Touchdowns, zero interceptions.
Zero picks. I mean, that's great.
Yep.
But In five of the last seven games, the Packers have not run for 100 yards as a team.
Well, the Packers can't run it, but they weren't able to run it back then either.
Ah, Eddie Lacy had 11 carries for 87 yards, I think, that night, as he destroyed and gouged the inside of the Giants' defensive front.
Well,
I would
fine.
Disagree with you. They had 147 yards as a team.
I understand that, but look at their other stats around that game where they're not able to run the ball. Eddie Lacy was terrible all year.
Go back.
Their yards per carry are okay, but they didn't run the ball.
Go back. I'm going to beg to differ. Go back and look at the Packers game-by-game rushing stats, and you will see they had a bunch over 100-yard performances in the first half of the season. That was not an aberration. They were running it. And the Giants got gouged badly by the running game in that game. So their running game is now, although Montgomery, I get it, had 160 against Chicago, okay? Had 160 against Chicago, and they had 220. That was an aberration. In five of the last seven games, the Packers have not run for 100 yards as a team, so their running game has taken a big dip for the worst. So that's why I do think.
But their passing game's a lot better, obviously.
Much better. Much better. But without Lacy running like he did against the Giants in that early game, I'm going to put an asterisk next to that, and I'm going to say, on the whole, Packers defense, Packers offense, better, but not quite as much as people think, because it is what Lacy did and pounded out.
Eddie Lacy, 61 yards the first game of the year. Second game of the year against the Vikings, Eddie Lacy had 50 yards. Third game of the year against the Detroit Lions, Eddie Lacy had 103.
No. Team rushing. Look.
That's Aaron Rodgers' rushing stats. That doesn't count.
Hold on.
All right, Paul, let's just – I don't want to get bogged down in this, please.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They had a stretch of 5 of 6 games where they had at least 100 yards rushing, including the game against the Giants. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
A much better rushing output than what they have now. They're relying on that golden arm that guy has, and justifiably so.
Of course. And they're playing good football. And now the Giants head into Green Bay, and their defense is going to be tested. But to me, Paul, like we mentioned before, this is going to be a situation where the Giants' defense is going to have to, you know, carry a lot of the load here. Because a lot of people I know will say the Packers' secondary is banged up and all that stuff, and yeah, that's great. But the Giants have faced banged up secondaries all year, and it hasn't mattered. So I'm not going to go nuts and say the Giants are going to go into Green Bay and pick on this banged-up secondary and score a bunch of points. To me, this is going to fall into one of those, you know, 21-17 type of scenarios here, and that's where this game is going to wind up sometime late Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I think, I'm going to tell you, I think that the over-under on this is going to be real hard. I don't know what Vegas has for it, but I agree with you.
It was 4.5 or 3.5, depending on where you looked at it.
But, you know, here's what I will say. I'm with you on that, John. I don't think there's going to be as many points as some might think with these two quarterbacks. But let me just say one thing, okay? One thing I will say. The Giants' offensive line yesterday, by controlling the ball for nearly 36 minutes in the game, by rushing for 160 yards, by the way, for the 7th time in the last 5 years – okay, they showed me something yesterday against the suspect Redskins D. Let's not pull punches.
Use the right word. Bad Redskins defense.
But the Giants did something yesterday with their offensive line, with their protection of Eli, and their ability to run the ball and control the tempo and control the game, I believe. I thought they showed me something yesterday that I did not think they could do against a desperate team in a hostile road environment. That, to me, is a plus. And I will say, Coach McAdoo, turns out you were right. I was wrong to say that you should pull your guys out. I thought it was the safe thing to do. I thought it was a risky thing to do what he did. But in retrospect, it looks like he did gain the momentum that he was seeking.
Well, we'll see. I mean, as Odell Beckham said after the game, you can win one game, the next game you stink, and then momentum doesn't mean anything. So it can be an artificial thing that doesn't mean anything. I was expecting to see you run in your suit onto the field in the third quarter and rip Eli Manning off the field. That didn't happen, though.
No, but at least I didn't have to rip Odell off the field because Coach did pull him out.
That is true. But the Giants do get the win. Now they go to Green Bay, a very difficult game. And this is the last thing I'll say before you get to your calls at 201-939-4513. I listened to FAN this morning a little bit. I was looking at Twitter this morning. And there are a lot of really cocky Giant fans out there.
Oh.
And what they say are things like, oh, well, we went there and won in 2007 and 2011.
It means nothing.
That means, and you know, Paul and I didn't even talk about this before the show, but I'm happy he said that because he took the words out of my mouth. It means absolutely nothing. The only thing that's similar is in 2011, the two quarterbacks were Eli Manning and Aaron Rodgers.
That is correct.
The game's in Lambeau Field. And that's it.
Oh, it will be cold.
And it'll be cold. Different year, different teams, different people. All right? So don't think just because the Giants made these runs in 07 and 11, it's automatically going to happen this year and they can go in Green Bay and win. It's going to be a tough game. You have to play well. You have to win the turnover battle, which is extremely important in a tough game on the road in the playoffs against a team like the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, who, like we mentioned, has not thrown a pick in 7 weeks.
Giants have been good about getting the ball, though.
They have been, absolutely, which is going to be one of those things something has to give. Either the Giants are going to not get the takeaway, mm-hmm. or Rodgers is going to throw his first pick in a long time. So it's going to be a very tough game, and if you're going to be confident about this game, don't be confident because the Giants beat them in 07 and 11,
no.
because that doesn't mean anything.
No.
Be confident because you're heading in there with the defense that's playing better than any other defense in the conference, with three guys at cornerback that can all cover, a run defense that has shut down even the best running games over the last few weeks,
mm-hmm.
and a guy like Olivier Vernon coming off the edge trying to get after Aaron Rodgers, and Landon Collins at safety trying to
check,
get takeaways.
Check, 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 check.
Those
check.
Are the reasons you should be confident heading into the game on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Not because of 07 and 11. And that'll be the last thing I say about the game.
I will add one other reason.
Sure.
Because there is one thing that we do know that we can maybe take from the past, and I don't like to do that much, but Eli Manning's postseason track record
Fair.
Is very good. He does seem to tighten down and play better
and the other
in
thing,
these situations.
Similar to that, but on the opposite end of the spectrum, this would be the first Giants playoff game that we'll see without Tom Coughlin as head coach in a long time. And coaching in the playoffs can also be very, very different. It'll be a new experience for Ben McAdoo. Game planning becomes even more important in the postseason, something mm-hmm. that both Tom Coughlin and Kevin Gilbert are both very good at, making specific game plans to beat specific teams. And it'll be another new challenge now for Ben McAdoo heading into the playoffs as a head coach and a play caller dealing with the playoff preparation for a game as opposed to a regular season game.
No question, John. I would agree. It's a new experience every week for Coach McAdoo because
yes.
he is a rookie head coach. Mm-hmm. And look how he handled this past week. You know, I will add one other caveat to all of this that we've just talked about. You know, I do think that he has done a good job with this team mentally in terms of how to push the right buttons.
Oh, absolutely. He's been great.
And you know that even though there are a bunch of Giants fans who want to call it deja vu, and I'm with you, John. I just think that's a pipe dream. You can't do that for all the reasons John said. But most of the country is going to not only favor the Packers, they're going to tell you with certainty the Packers are going to win this game. I bet you Coach McAdoo uses that really, really well to his advantage.
And by the way, it's also Ben McAdoo against his former mentor.
That
they
is true.
Know each other extremely well. And we'll see how that goes as well, which is interesting.
I look at the mind game he played with his team last week, and his caveat or his carrot to them was the Redskins ruined our home record this season, and I want to fix that, and I also want to knock them out of the playoffs because they're a division rival. That was the psychological bone that he threw to his team, and they played hard yesterday. They really did.
And no one believed him when he said they were going to go out there and try to win the game. We talked on the pregame show on the air, and you said, I don't care, I don't believe it. I don't think he has to play in the second half. And I said, look, I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. The guy said he's going to play him. Who the heck knows what's going to happen? And
playing
boy,
the percentages, especially off the way he played the preseason, it was logical to see him bluffing.
Paul, I understand
bluffing.
Exactly why you thought what you did. It
but
made
guess
sense.
What? Coach, you got me.
Yep. And you know what? He proved, and you know what? We'll see if he can now carry all that right. momentum into the postseason. All right, let's get to the calls. We'll take you guys in the order in which you called in. Joel in New Jersey is first up on Big Blue Kickoff Live on this Monday with the Giants heading into the postseason. Joel, how are you?
I'm good, and all I'm saying is playoffs, playoffs, playoffs.
Yes, sir.
I've called in a couple times, but I've been listening to you guys for a while now. But all that happened after we won the Super Bowl in 2011. So I just wanted to call in and just know that I'm calling in on a time when we go into the playoffs. I'm just excited about that. Not too much to say about the game, but I will put this out here. You can put it on the board. If we win this game, I feel confident that we can actually go to the Super Bowl. Now, I've said this to my friends about in 2007 about going to the Cowboys when we went to Dallas. I said, if we can win that game, we can go to the Super Bowl. Same thing in Green Bay in 2011. If we win that game, we can go to the Super Bowl. I think the same thing happens here. I think this is this game in the playoffs that we have to win in order to propel this team to be confident enough to push to the playoffs. And that's pretty much basically it, guys.
Well, I mean, look, you obviously have to, if you don't win the game, you're not in the playoffs anymore.
I was just going to say, that's the end of the line.
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, you're right, but duh.
Do I say playoffs or do I meant to say Super Bowl?
Well, I will say this to you, because of the reasons that John and I discussed last weekend, when we talked about the four teams that were available to play the Giants in the first round, we had a little different perspective on the priority. My whole feeling was...
We actually had Green Bay in the same spot, though. We had them both on our list of three.
Did we?
Yeah.
I thought you had them two and Atlanta three.
You had Seattle.
Well, that was the change.
We had Seattle and Atlanta swap two and four.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a tough game for the Giants. Make no mistake about it. And I'm going to tell you right now, the linchpin for me is if the Giants' offensive line plays like they did yesterday, I truly believe they're going to win the game. Because I think the rest of the matchups across the board, they're either even or plus. But the one matchup that really concerns me is the defensive front of the Packers against the Giants offensive line. If they can at least hold their own there, I think the Giants are going to win this game. I really do. But that is getting ahead of ourselves. We had a lot of time to talk about that this week.
You got anything else, Joel?
No, that's basically it. And listen, guys, you do a great job. I love you guys. All the stuff you guys do in the off season, but guess what? We don't have to talk about the off season.
Yes, thank goodness.
Not anytime soon, hopefully.
Shorter off season. We like that, Joel. Appreciate it, man. And thanks
all right,
a lot. That's so much for watching, listening, and reading, and everything else we do on Giants.com. We appreciate it.
Happy it's cool.
Year. Let's go to Brian down in North Carolina. He was in next. Brian, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, just a couple comments and just one question. First of all, I'm a longtime listener, but this is my first time calling in.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. I always get a lot of flack from my buddies about listening to you guys' show, but that doesn't deter me at all. the first comment I wanted to make was on McAdoo. I just want to say that he's doing a great job this year. I love how he'll go for it on fourth down. He's not afraid to make those tough decisions. I definitely love that. My other comment is just on how well we're doing, how we're progressively getting better throughout the season. I love the offensive line play so far. I know throughout the season, they've been getting a lot of, a lot of Charlie issues.
Well, love is a real strong word for a unit that's been somewhat sporadic.
Right. But I think, as the season has gotten along, they've been definitely showing improved, especially the last couple games. They've definitely done better in my eyes. But lastly, my question is, why do you think Eli's play has declined? You think it's a physical issues, or do you think it's just his lack of trust in the offensive line? And I'll take your answer off the air.
Thank you, Brian. I mean, that's really the, million-dollar question there, isn't it? I mean, I think he's made some poor throws in spots where he's usually made better ones. If maybe is it a physical thing? I don't know. He says he's healthy. There's no evidence to support the fact that he's hurt. But he has taken a lot of hits this year, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned this last week, though, too. If you look at his actual numbers during the year, spare the interception number in terms of yards and completion percentage. Again, the picks are another issue.
Yes.
The other numbers are similar to what he's done in years past.
I mean, the decline, it's not that much.
I mean, he has thrown nine fewer touchdown passes from last year to this year, and he's thrown two more picks.
Yeah.
That is significant.
Well, the percentage of picks, 2.7 this year compared to 2.3 last year, it's not that much difference.
Well, he's thrown two more interceptions, but he has thrown nine fewer touchdowns.
That the touchdown passes for sure.
That is significant.
Yardage, he's 400 yards behind last year. But believe it or not, look at his completion percentage. Actually a tad higher.
Right.
I think the word declined is a misnomer. He's been inconsistent. There's no question. We would totally agree. He's been inconsistent. Decline would indicate all the numbers across the board are down. That's not true. They're not all down. You know, they're still in the same range.
Now, I do think it has to do with the offensive line a little bit. He has got smacked around a little bit more this year than he has in years past. And I think the lack of the running game has hurt him, too. I mean, teams have figured out a way to put two safeties deep against the Giants, dare them to run the ball, and it's hard to make big plays down the field with, you know, a two-safety shell, whatever you're playing underneath coverage. So I think all those things put together shows you why his touchdowns are probably down, and his big plays are down, too.
You know,
and if you look at his yards per attempt, Paul, that's a number that's been down significantly at 6.7.
Got to get rid of the ball quick.
7.2. Right, exactly. I'm saying, you know, no question.
I'm not a big fan of the quarterback rating. In fact, I don't believe in it at all. But for those folks who do believe in numbers, even at 86, okay, he's down a touch from 93.6 last year and 92.1 the year before. But the last year, Coach Coughlin, look at his rating.
Well, 2013 was also a terrible year.
Terrible year, 69.4. Right. And the year before, 87.2. His career rating is 83.7, and his rating is 86 this year. I mean, again, when I hear the word decline, I'm thinking like, inconsistent's a better word.
Let's go to Big Ed in Maryland. Big Ed, I know he's excited for the playoffs, and I know he had a very good day rubbing it into his Redskin friends this morning. Right, Big Ed?
Oh, boy. Hello, guys.
Hi, Big Ed.
Are you sure we don't have the Joker from Batman on the line? Wow. That was evil. Listen to this guy.
Hey, I'm a little disappointed, but why not? Look, I wanted us to go 13-3 like Dallas did. We supposed to have. But two losses, that's okay. We ain't gonna worry about it now. Now it's just on. Now it's just really, really on. Oh, my goodness. Can you just imagine the happiness? Fellas, I'll tell you. Get your tickets ready for Houston. Should nobody beat us. For what I saw from the last four games, you know, we didn't have everybody out there. So the only person that'd be missing from Green Bay would be JPP. And if he plays, oh, man, they won't score. They shouldn't score anything. Because when you held Detroit to 6, and then Dallas to 7, and then the Redskins only get 1, you only heading into bigger and better things all the way through. We shouldn't have any issues.
Big Ed, there's going to be a lot of polarizing people here. On one end of the spectrum, a lot of national folks and people outside New York are going to say the Giants have no chance at all. In fact, I saw on ESPN today, the Giants were given a 3% chance to win the Super Bowl, which was the second lowest compared. Yeah, Detroit was 1%.
That's what we're going to do with
the Giants were 3%.
What was Miami?
Right on the bulletin board.
There's no way Miami was ahead of the Giants.
Yeah.
Was it NFC only?
No. It was the whole league.
We're going to leave Vernon alone and ignore him.
Detroit was the longest shot.
We ignore him. What's going to happen is he's just going to
Yeah, but see, Big Ed, you're going far. You're going all the way opposite in the other direction, too.
All-out massacre. Fellas, the question of the week and of the day is, how do you like your cheese? How do you like your cheese sliced?
Big Ed, thank you, my friend.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, fellas. I'll hit you up later, man. Playoff week. We're going all the way.
Big Ed's always very excited.
All right, number 5.
See now, and I had Giant fans annoyed me on Twitter for saying that I shouldn't say Giant fans are cocky and they're just excited. When somebody calls up and says, print your tickets for Houston, that's what I'm talking about.
And slice your cheese?
Yes. And my only thing is have respect for your opponent.
Here's the problem.
That's all I'm saying. And that should be for every playoff team. Guys, every playoff game you play is going to be a knuckle-dragging, you know, scraped-up hands, lack of a better word, battle to figure out who's going to win. I mean, none of these games are going to be easy. You're going to have to play really well to win any of these games, period. Bottom line, sentence over. That's all I'm saying.
In other words, best case scenario, it's a month of playoff agita.
Right. Hopefully Paul will be living at the end of it. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the call and say what's up to Alex in New Jersey. Alex, how are you?
Doing good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Alex.
You too.
Definitely happy about, you know, the win. I want to stay humble in victory, the coach says. But a couple things, just a couple comments, one on offense and one on defense.
Yeah.
One thing, I was a little bummed that Jarrell Adams wasn't in yesterday because I really wanted to see him.
He was
shoulder
injured.
Shoulder injury.
Oh, he was – okay. All right. So, okay. But I would have liked to see, you know, like the seam routes, have him run some seam routes, but okay, he was injured. Because the game during with the Packers early in the season, Will Ty had, you know, very good – the seam routes was working really well. Actually, there was one look like he could have gone for a touchdown. He, like, kind of overthrew him a little bit, hit his hand.
Yes,
but,
yes.
And that's that also on the offense. I saw it was a couple times that, you know, when Beckham was out, they had Lewis in, Shepard, and Victor. And I would have liked to see Victor be in the slot, at least for one of those, just to see how he moved in the slot. But besides that, I was happy. And then also on defense, I think that we got to bring pressure to Aaron Rodgers because when I looked at the game, you know, JPP and, you know, the rest of the line, they didn't bring too much pressure just rushing four. And if he has, you know, too much time back there, he's definitely going to probably tear us apart. So,
and the thing about it, too, with Aaron Rodgers, and he's not the guy that's going to go there, take his three steps or five steps and get rid of the ball.
No.
He's going to hold it. He's going to shift in the pocket. He's going to get out of the pocket. He's going to create extra time. And there's and it's funny. Some quarterbacks tend to scramble and run into pressure and actually hurt the team by doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Rodgers is so good at it to buy time to create room for his receivers. And as Chris Collinsworth pointed out a number of times yesterday on the NBC broadcast, they practice that during the week, the scramble drill, to get guys open. So the initial defense by the Giants is going to be important, but you hit it right on the head. You're absolutely right. It's how the Giants maintain their defensive discipline and their coverage when Rodgers breaks that pocket, buys an extra 3 or 4 seconds, and how the Giants cover down the field after that happens. You're absolutely right. It's a huge part of this game next Sunday, and it cannot be underestimated.
He had a play last night, which they replayed many times, 8.7 seconds of time to throw that laser beam touchdown pass about 6 inches off the ground.
He's pretty good, right?
Okay. Oh, my goodness. He's the only guy in the league who can make that play. There's no question about that. How do you think the Lions feel watching that tape this morning? 8.7 seconds while he bought time horizontally to throw that touchdown pass. It was an absolute killer. But here's what I will say. The reason he's able to do that is because he's got two really good tackles on the ends.
Yeah, Balaga and Bakhtari.
They do a really good job. Mm-hmm. And what you need to do, if you're the Giants, the biggest key for them is going to be those two defensive ends maintaining their integrity. Because not only do you have to get some pressure and win the line of scrimmage.
Don't get caught inside.
You can't get caught. Because once those tackles turn you and they give him the opportunity to get to outside the numbers.
He's going.
You are screwed. If I may say that.
Sure.
Beep, beep,
well,
sorry.
Well, you just did.
Okay. But it's a problem. It's a problem. You don't want him to get out to the numbers to buy that extra time.
Exactly. So those are just a couple of things I noticed. But first time caller, I was listening to it for a long time. I really appreciate everything you guys do.
Thank you, Alex.
That this is the last point I want to say, that the Giants, you know, I think like when you look nationally, they look at us kind of like, you know, like we don't get respect. You know what I'm saying? I just think we got a good, gritty team. And, of course, I'm a Giant fan, so I'm always going to be optimistic. But I think we are a heavy-hitting team this year. Let's go Giants.
Alex, appreciate it. And I think one of the reasons, and I disagree, I think the media probably does underestimate the Giants a little bit. I'm usually one to argue against that most years. But I think the reason is that what do the people out there and the pundits and the fans and the media look for? What do they get excited about? Big plays, offense, points. Gets them excited.
Video game football.
What doesn't get them excited?
Fantasy football.
Good, disciplined defense. And the Giants right now, probably the best defense in the whole league in the postseason.
Which is why they at least have a puncher's chance. And why, bless you, which is why, John, when I see somebody say they got a 3% chance of going all the way, that's on one end of the spectrum, and I think that's laughable this defense gives them a chance to be in every game and potentially make a run.
Absolutely. When you have the best defense in the playoffs, you always have a chance to win.
It's like what they say about pitching in baseball.
Absolutely.
You got a chance.
They're right there with the Chiefs as probably having the two best defenses in the playoffs right now.
Okay. And then on the other spectrum, you got Big Ed who wants to slice cheese, which is which is way overboard on the other side because this is not going to be a cakewalk. So all I can say is the Giants right now are a very polarizing team, I think, amongst the fans.
Right. But again, it's the defense that does it, folks. They have a great defense. They're playing great. And there's no reason to think that won't continue heading into the playoffs, which if you're holding a team to 17, 20 points, you always have a chance to win.
And I will say this. Not that anything is going to all of a sudden click a switch and make miraculous things happen overnight, but it's a heck of a lot easier to make a few extra plays on offense than it is on defense. When your defense is struggling and not doing well, usually that's a landslide you can't stop.
Well, you can get a defensive score. You can get a special team score. You can get good field position. There are things you can do to help your offense. It's a lot harder to help a really bad defense.
Okay, yeah. All right, you're following. Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely.
201-939-4513. Marco in Connecticut. Marco, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Marco.
So really, really excited. Can't wait for this game. I wish my preference would be to skip over the whole week, not listen to anything except you guys, but, just get right to the game. I agree with you. I don't want to spend too much time on the comparisons from the last two, Super Bowl runs. Anyone who thinks that that's enough to hang your hat on, you got to remember one thing too. Mike McCoy, the Packers coach was with that team.
Mike McCarthy,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Packers would love to beat the Giants this weekend. They were upset those two runs in 07 and 11.
They thought they were going both times.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now they're coming in as probably the hottest team in the NFL with the best quarterback in the NFL. Giants fans, you better read between the lines a little bit and find a way how we're going to go in there and stop them rather than think that Eli's got the secret ingredients. I think the two big components for the Giants going into this game is Eli's decision-making, and I think Spagnuolo and the game plan that they dice up for Rodgers. What you guys mentioned with keeping Rodgers contained, when the play breaks down and he's able to move around, it's guys like Kennard and Casillas, the two D tackles, they're going to be huge against Aaron Rodgers and what we're able to do there. Our secondary is tremendous, but as you saw last night, I mean, you can only cover for so long. So that's going to be a big part. Two guys that I've been curious about with the defense, I've been so impressed with the defense this year, Andrew Adams and Kelvin Shepard. And I'd like to see if you guys could tell me a little bit about what they're doing. What has Adams been doing this year? He's really the guy that is not talked about at all. He was exploited a couple weeks ago on that big play. I think it was with Terrence Williams when he scored that touchdown. But I think Jared Cook is going to be a big player to focus in on for the Packers. And I think Adams will have his hands full there. So
all right,
tell me a little bit about it. Tell me about Adams and tell me about Kelvin Shepard
and
what they're doing.
No problem. First of all, I thought you made a great point on Jared Cook. That's another difference with the Packers from the first time the Giants played to now. Jared Cook was not there, and they've made the point he's been a big difference maker in their offense. So,
their passing game has clearly gotten better.
Well, and again, much like the Giants' offensive system, it helps to have a tight end that can make plays in the middle of the field. So that's one really good point. Adams did have trouble last night. He got switched off on a wide receiver on the deep corner. Was that Garcon on that play? I think it was, right? It was Pierre Garcon, so he got beat. But look, Adams, for the most part, and this is why I think you got to clap your hands for him a little bit, he doesn't make mental mistakes. Mm-hmm. And you talked about that play from a few weeks ago. That wasn't even Adams' fault. Ben McAdoo said after the fact that was on somebody else. He didn't specify. You look at the tape, I'm guessing it was Eli Apple. But he made the point that that was not a blown coverage by Andrew Adams on that play. So that's number one. And, Paul, for a young guy like that not to make a lot of mental mistakes, especially playing that deep center field where it can really hurt your team, that's where I want to give him the most credit.
Yeah, and he's hustles, too.
Oh, yeah, he tries hard.
He's not the fastest guy back there, but, you know, he usually puts himself in good position and can make enough of plays where, you know, maybe that lack of speed isn't killing him.
Right.
And I give him a lot of credit for that because it's been a very quick study, and we all know in Spags' defense the safeties are really important.
Then for Kelvin Shepard, who's done a great job on first and second downs, for some reason we haven't really gotten any calls about wanting Jasper Brinkley back over the last 7 or 8
weeks. Yeah, right.
That's gone awfully quiet real fast. But if you want, and, you know, Paul and I should apologize because we talked about the great run defense, and, you know, I gave Snacks a lot of credit. Paul said it was a team effort by the defensive line. I think both of us are right. We didn't give enough credit, I don't think, to the linebackers. Devon Kennard's done a great job setting the edge against the run. Kelvin Shepard's been very good in the middle against the run. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan Casillas is a very smart player who does a little bit of everything. So, you're right. I think Kelvin Shepard's done a really good job. He got a great play yesterday penetrating into the backfield to force a play outside that was supposed to go inside. They stopped him for a loss. I think Shepard's done a very good job on first and second down. And again, like Adams. Now, he's a veteran, but Adams is a young guy, super smart player.
Bingo.
Always is where he needs to be, gets the team into where they need to be pre-snap, real smart guy.
And I think the reason he gets overshadowed a lot is because he's coming out in the sub-package.
Correct.
And so many teams are going to their sub-packages, and the Giants are getting Keenan Robinson out there a whole lot, which, by the way, isn't a problem because he's been really good at coverage.
He's played great, too.
So, you know, I agree with you, John. Shepard is a very smart, heady player, terrific attitude, good teammate. And, you know, ultimately, that's what Spags said the other day when he was talking about his defense. People keep asking him, are you surprised this defense has played so well? And what does he keep telling us? These guys are smart. They're focused. They work very, very well together. Everybody understands their responsibilities. They're all accountable to one another. These are all really good locker room qualities that kind of help themselves on the field.
Yeah,
and Shepard, work on the field.
And Shepard's snaps can go up and down week in, week out, Marco. For example, just to give you an example, he played just 26 against Detroit. Then he played 44 against Philly last week. Then he played just 10 against the Redskins yesterday because they're in three wide receivers constantly. So that's the thing about Shepard. He's just not on the field a lot in certain games, which is why I don't think guys give him as much credit as they should. All right, Marco, appreciate the call, man.
Good stuff. I tell you, you know, it's funny, too. Trevin Wade, who's been up and down, you know, throughout his couple of years here with the Giants.
Yes.
How fortuitous for him to find a ball there at the end of the game and score another touchdown.
Second time he's done
I know.
That as a Giant.
I know.
So apparently Trevin Wade, best player in football at playing the, you know, scramble drill at the end of the game. No one shuts that down like Trevin Wade. You saw the Cowboy had it on the road trip, by the way?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
There was a gentleman in security at one of the places that tried to trade an old beaten-up baseball cap with his Cowboy cap, and Trevin wasn't having any part of it.
Is Trevin from Texas originally? Is that where he's from?
I don't know that. Maybe.
Why don't you look that up using that thing called the internet?
We could do that. But seriously, you know, he's been reliable.
And he's played well the last couple games.
He's been reliable.
He played really well 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
201-939-4513. Paul looked it up. While he does, a question. The offense, this is from Reggie Stewart.
Austin, Texas.
There you go. Reggie Stewart. The Giants offense has to step up. How can it be different than in the regular season in the playoffs? And I think you're bucking up the wrong tree there, to be honest with you. I don't think you're going to change a lot of things after doing things a certain way for 16, 17 weeks. I think you have to do what you do better, and I think you have to play efficient football and you protect the ball. If you go into Green Bay, folks, and you do what you did against Philly last week and turn it over 3 times, you're not going to the second round of the playoffs. It's over. Unless you can somehow turn Aaron Rodgers over 2 or 3 times also. I'm going to assume that you're probably not going to get 3 takeaways from Aaron Rodgers. But you cannot lose the turnover battle by more than 1. If you're -1, you can recover from that sometimes. If you're -2 against the Packers in Lambeau Field, good luck.
I think yesterday's offensive performance, and remember, they went for a 4th down bypassing a field goal, and the ball was broken up.
Yes.
So they would have had another 3 offensively.
Correct. Which would have given them 16 points.
Now, here's what I will say. If they can put that offensive performance on the field, 160 yards rushing, controlling the ball for almost 36 minutes, not turning the ball over, I'll tell you what. I would take that pretty much. I would like to have one more touchdown, because that would give them 23 points, and I think that might win the game.
If you're
telling me
330 yards of offense with no turnovers, 16 points?
I'd like to see one. I'd like to see a touchdown instead of a field goal.
Give me
a swap on that.
I'd like to get to 20. I'm with you. And if you can swap that out, like you said, I'll take it. But generally, if you give me 350 yards of offense and you're giving me no turnovers by the offense, where do I sign? 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones and let's see who's next. That is, oh, by the way, Kelvin Shepard's birthday is today. Happy birthday, Kelvin Shepard. Good way to celebrate the birthday. We like it. Charles in New Mexico. He's up next. Charles, good to talk to you. How are you, pal?
Good. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, Charles.
Happy New Year. Hey, they looked good yesterday.
Yes, sir.
I can say defensively, and I said this morning, I'm not going to be as cocky as the last few guys, but if we do get by Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and let me just say this, I'm in New Mexico, you guys know that, I'm in the middle of the hated cowboy country, but I have a buddy. Remember Jimmy the Greek on CBS?
Sure. Of course.
So this guy, just call him James the Hispanic, okay? He never talks a lot. He doesn't like pro football that much.
Be careful.
But he called our first win against the Cowboys,
okay,
the second win against the Cowboys, the loss against the Eagles. He told me we beat the Redskins, and this morning he said we will handle the Packers easily. So I feel pretty comfortable because this guy is right on when he comes to pro football. He should start his own betting service. It's amazing. But the key is this. I think I saw Danelle in the game yesterday. I think if we start those seam passes and he can hold on the ball and not fumble, adds an extra element going through the playoffs. I think the defense, and you guys said it, next to us and the Chiefs, the two defenses that are championship caliber, we have a shot. And all these guys that are harping that Eli is washed up, here comes the playoff Eli. I think we'll have consistent play. The key is the wide receivers have to catch the ball when he hits them.
Yeah,
don't you agree?
That's a good point. I think that's a great point. I think, Charles, you're right. There have been too many plays this year. Cruz has had a couple. I think Beckham's probably dropped three touchdown passes this year over the course of the season, or what could have been touchdown passes. You're right. When they have the opportunity, you have to take advantage of it. You cannot afford mistakes like that against good teams on the road in the playoffs. 100% agree.
The Dottino film study has the Giants with only three games this year with no drops.
Wow.
I got Beckham leading the team with 9. That's, again, my subjective grading, okay? I've got Cruz with 5.
Yeah. And they can't do it in the postseason, that's all. When the ball is there, catch it, secure it. Let's make the first downs. Let's keep it going.
Agree.
You guys do a great job. I listen every day. My littlest daughter, who's 18, always calls me extra because I'm extra special when it comes to the Giants. I love them. let's make the run. You guys have a great day.
Thank you, Charles. I appreciate it. And look, as much as we've been, you know, lauding how good Green Bay is, and they are, I'll say this too. This, as good as they've been the last few weeks, the Packers in the last 7 games or so, they're still not, to me, vintage Packers offense from like 3 or 4 years ago. When Aaron Rodgers had his, you know, 50 touchdown, 6 interception year, whatever he had, that crazy year, and they were scoring 35 points a game. And if you look at the Packers schedule here, and I'll bring it up real quick, to see how many points they've scored over the last few weeks. I mean, it's not what it used to be. And I'll work backwards here from where the Packers started their run. If the Packers homepage will actually load with their schedule, here it is. Starting with their last win, they scored 27 against Philly, 21 against the Texans, 38 against Seattle, 30 against the Bears, 38 against Minnesota, and 31 against the Lions. All right. Look, they've had 4 straight games of 30 points. That's honestly better than I thought it was. It's hard for me to really get on them for that. But that being said, and I understand maybe the numbers don't show it, they're still not as explosive and efficient as they have been when they're at their best. I think the Giants' defense can slow them down and hold them under 20 points if they play well. I do think that's in the books, even though the last time the Packers did not score 20 points was week 2 against the Dallas Cowboys.
So then you're on the same page with me.
I am.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I don't think my point is, as much as we respect the Packers and as good as they're playing, this is not vintage Aaron Rodgers Packers offense. And Randall Cobb, by the way, has not played the last couple of weeks. They think he might be able to play in the first round of the playoffs, but we'll see.
The last two times the Packers led the league in points was 2011 and 2014, okay? Now, in 2014, here was the big difference.
How many touchdowns did Rodgers have that year?
That year, Rodgers threw 38 touchdowns with only five picks.
Yeah, it's pretty
good.
He
was awesome.
Yeah.
But Eddie Lacy ran for over 1,100 yards.
Right.
Okay? And that year, the Packers were 11th in the NFL in rushing. So they had more balance.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Look, we'll agree to disagree. I don't think the Packers' running game this year was ever any really good. But you're right. When they were really good, the Packers, their running game was really
good.
No question about it.
2011, they were, believe it or not, 27th in rushing that year. They were more lopsided because they had James Starks and Ryan Grant, both of whom ran for 500 apiece. But if you remember, that was that running back by committee.
Right. 201. I'm sorry, Paul.
That's all right. No, I was just going to say that, you know, Eddie Lacy, when he's right, he really does make a difference for them.
201-939-4513. The K-Man's in New York. What's going on, K-Man?
Hello?
Hello? Giddy up.
Hey, guys. A lot of you guys listen to the show religiously. Thanks very much for
thanks,
making
K-Man.
My days better.
Cool.
So, quick question for you. This this party that Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, and Victor Cruz attended overnight in Miami, what do you guys think about that the week before?
Honestly, I don't really know much about it. From what I understand, there are a couple posts up on Instagram or something like that, and I think that's what you're referring to. I don't know much about it, K-Man, to be honest with you. So I hesitate to comment on it, to be quite honest with you, because I really don't know the details of the situation other than what, frankly, I didn't even see it on social media, what other people told me was up on social media. So without knowing much about it, without the guys talking about it, I really don't know what to say about it, to be honest with you.
All right, fair enough, fair enough.
There is no practice today that we can't say.
Yeah, K-Man, I can tell you for sure, today is the players' day off, so the players do not have any responsibilities here today. I can tell you that for sure. Paul makes a good point.
Good, thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Sure.
Oh, do you have anything else, K-Man?
I'm all set on my end.
Okay.
I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks, man. K-Man.
Yeah, practice tomorrow.
Now, Paul did not get my Seinfeld reference, obviously.
I never watched the program. No interest in it.
Well, Kramer was often referred to, and that was Michael Richards, obviously, was the K-Man.
Oh, okay.
That's why I slid in the giddy up.
I heard of the soup doctor, or soup man. Professor Soup?
Professor Soup.
Right? No soup for you? I've heard of that.
Soup Nazi.
Oh, Soup Nazi.
Soup Nazi.
Okay.
Professor Soup.
Not a show I ever watch, folks.
Oh my God. Professor,
nope.
Professor Soup.
I like soup, by the way.
It sounds like a character from Sesame Street.
Oh, I was thinking more like a character from the old Batman series.
Oh, I don't know why.
Like
that
Colonel
was so
Gump.
Funny. What else do you think you know about Seinfeld? I want to see what else you think you know. This is fascinating to me.
There was some. Was it George Costanza was a Yankees fan, right? And he worked for the Yankees?
That's correct. Okay.
I think I heard of that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Good job.
That's about all I know.
Okay. Professor Soup. Let's go to Marvin down in Delaware. Marvin, how are you, pal? See, folks, have you ever doubted how much film work that Tino does or football work that Tino does?
That's it.
He has no concept of anything even close to being popular culture.
No.
Marvin, what's up?
Happy New Year, John and Paul.
Happy
you too.
New Year, pal.
I know we got a short time left.
That's all right. You got time.
I'm looking at the team. I've been watching them since 75. I've been watching the team as a coach and not a fanatic. I'm not going to say fan because they're fanatics. real quick, I coached in Leominster, Massachusetts. One of my kids played with Victor Cruz at UMass.
Oh, wow.
23 of them. Jonathan Hernandez was the running back. You ever get a chance to look at his highlights for UMass, check out Jonathan Hernandez. I coached him in high school and then Pop Warner.
Cool.
And I have Robert Blanchflower, coached him at tight end. He played for UMass and got drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So had a little success in kids and watching the game. So with that said, I was happy to see that Paul Perkins got the start on Sunday. I've been trying to call there for the last week to put my two cents in that I think he should be starting. And the reason he should start is the offensive line. Everybody complains about it, and they've had their problems. But me looking at it as a coach, the offensive line and the way the philosophy of this team is, they're not an aggressive, bruising offensive line. They're not the Cowboys, and they're not Oakland. They're finesse style offensive line. They play calling. It's finesse style. So who's the best fit for that? Paul Perkins. Jennings is a straight line runner. If you watch his films, he's going to run. He's going to give you everything he has. If the play's supposed to go in the two hole, that's where he's running. If it's up your back, it's up your back. He doesn't see the old hole on the other side. He just runs where he's supposed to go. And that's fine. If you run in short yardage, it's fine. And on Sunday, I thought they played Perkins well, but there was times when Perkins got them into their territory. They took him out. I know he may have needed a breather, but they took him out, put Jennings in, and if you go back and look, Jennings killed some of those drives because they got into 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7.
Marvin, Perkins, I don't think either me or Paul will disagree with you at this point that it would appear at this point of the year, mm-hmm. due to his elusiveness and ability to make guys miss, that Perkins is a better fit running the football right now than Jennings and is a more effective runner. We agree with you.
Right, and I know Paul, and I've listened to Paul for years since the show been on. You guys did a great job. And I know you guys see it. The offensive line is fit for Perkins. They will play a lot better if Perkins is playing more. The 20 is a lot of carries for him. I like that. I would love to see him get the 25. I really would like to see him get the 25 carries.
Just a note for you. Last year when he was at UCLA in his final season with the Bruins, 5 times he carried the ball 20 times or more. He had 21 carries yesterday. So that would have even been on the high side for him with UCLA. And I think what both of us will understand in terms of your call is that Perkins, when he got here, remember he was late because class was still in session, and the Giants were trying to wean him in slowly. And now, as we're at the end of the season, you know what they say? You're not a rookie anymore, kid. It's time.
Yeah, but I think getting him to 25 might be pushing the envelope
a little bit. Would be, too.
Especially, but, Marvin, I don't know how they're going to run this, obviously, but I'd be surprised if the Giants ran the ball 40 times against Green Bay on Sunday, simply because I think it's going to be a real tough goal against. Their front's actually pretty good, the Packers, against the run, much better than Washington. So I think it'll be a stretch to think the Giants will get 40 running plays off. And if you only run it, let's say, 30 times, giving Perkins 25 and Jennings 5, I don't think that's a good split. I think you'll look at more like the 20-10 type of split in that area, maybe even 18-12, 17-13, something like that.
I was just going to say maybe 20-15. I'd like to see him run it up to 35 times.
I'm fine with that.
As long as it's effective.
Sure.
I'm fine with the 20-15. Jennings did have 18,
yes, sir,
on Sunday. But I can agree with that. I don't have an issue with that. But I just thought that thinking with the 18 carries that Jennings had, 3 more of those probably could have went to Perkins.
I
just don't want the drives to die.
I want to give you one caveat. Please understand this, and I know you do because you know football. It's obvious from what you're telling us. The one thing about Paul Perkins is the more that he's on the field, the more Dom Capers is going to dial up a multiple blitz scheme out of his 3-4.
Now, he's been good, though, at pass protection the last half.
He has been.
That's right.
He has been. He has done well. He has grown into this role remarkably well in the last month of the season. I will absolutely agree with you. However, this is a rookie who has limited experience who's going to taste his first playoff game. If he is on the field for, let's say, 80% of the Giants' offensive snaps, I guarantee you, Capers is going to be sending a bunch of stuff, and he's going to test that kid, and he's going to say, oh, yeah, Mr. Rookie from UCLA, let's see if you can recognize and pick up everything that I'm going to be throwing at you. So just be careful, because that is a fine line between, hey, I want to maximize his usage, but I also know I may be taking a risk. Is that fair?
That's fair, Paul. But
finish
on
up, Marvin.
On the flip side of that, you're not playing your best players. So we're letting Capers take out your best running back on your roster. Yeah, you're going to have Jennings, But I guarantee you, we're not going to run for 100 and some odd yards against them with Jennings running straight line plays. That's the way I feel. I could be wrong. I'm not guaranteeing that. You can be wrong.
Appreciate it, my friend.
I agree with you, but I have one more thing to say.
Yeah, real fast.
That John was correct about going into the playoffs. How are we going to do going in? You play better. That's all you have to do. But you have to have a wrinkle in there, a couple of wrinkle plays they have to carry in their pockets that Green Bay hasn't seen. I don't know what you guys think of this, but the best years that Cruz had and the best numbers he had is when he plays in the slot. We already have a slot with Sterling. So I'm thinking, I don't know what you guys think, for some reason I see 2x2 with Sterling Shepard and Cruz in beside the numbers. Now you got two outstanding slot receivers playing against their slot corners.
I'm not saying
you play the whole game that
right.
way.
Right, I hear you.
But you give them
Mix
that
it
look.
In. Now, Marvin, I have no problem with that. I think that's a good idea. And thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Thank you for your loyal listenership and watching the show. I think that can work, no question about it. I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of that. And I would also think that we've seen them more than that kind of fake end around to Beckham into mm-hmm. the screen pass. We've seen them mm-hmm. do the, you know, Beckham doing other stuff off of that play. I think we're going to see another wrinkle off of that in the postseason where Beckham gets to do something a little with the ball in his hands.
I wouldn't be surprised. The 2x2 is something actually I think Deal and I might have talked about a month ago, but haven't really seen it.
Oh, we lost George, Matt? All right. George, we're going to get to you. So, George and Orlando, if you call up tomorrow, okay. Paul and Lance will be sure to take you. You and Feagles, excuse me, will be
Feagles
sure to take
back
you
tomorrow. Good.
Early in that show. Real quick, I had a couple, one or two tweets I wanted to
Do
get
it.
To. Mike Cook, difference on offense will be having a run game with Perkins and being able to utilize the play action, which certainly does help your passing game if you can play action if you run the ball. We're in agreement with you on that. And also Freddie J_23 brought up a point that we didn't even bring up. Mostly because it was kind of a non-story at the end of the game. But give OBJ props for not reacting to Josh Norman yesterday. I know that's what he's supposed to do. But, yes, good job. Norman tried to get to him a little bit. Beckham actually, I think, drew Norman into a couple penalties. He did a little bit of a Oscar-winning performance on the one hit on the sideline.
Embellishment, maybe.
Watching some NBA basketball, maybe.
Or soccer.
Something
European soccer.
That's a good one, too. But you know what? He kept his calm. He did a good job.
Used his head.
No penalties, as Victor Cruz said after the game. Grew up a little bit, which is a very, very, very good thing. So just wanted to make sure I got those tweets
cool.
in before we say goodbye, because I thought they made some very good points. Guys, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Paul and Feagles tomorrow. Then Lance returns later on in the week for more Big Blue Kickoff Lives. The Giants get ready for the Packers. And next couple days, we'll really start delving into Green Bay. Me and Paul will watch our tape. We'll look at our stats. We'll look at our numbers. Look at our depth charts. And we'll break down every facet of that matchup.
No sleep.
Against the Green Bay Packers.
No sleep.
For him, I will sleep because I like to be a normal human being. For Paul Dottino, the zombie, I'm John Schmoke, the human. We'll see you tomorrow on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Have a good one, everybody.